Again, my name is Pastor Gideon Nash from South Street Baptist Church in Greenwich. We welcome you. Right now, we're going to have communion. Communion means fellowship. It also means gathering. But what we are going to have is more than just a fellowship and a gathering. Though they are good things, I just want you to understand that what we are going to do has deep spiritual significance. It goes all the way to the cross, what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. You do have communion, fellowship, or supper with people that you love and people that you care about. Yes, God cares about you, God loves you, and God cares about us. So today, if we are inviting you for communion or fellowship or the Lord's Supper, it's a deep and a lovely thing to do with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To begin with, I would like us to read a passage from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 to 6 from the New King James Version of the Bible. It reads this: He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned away one and everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. This came from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3 to 6. It points us to the cross. That was so many years before Jesus Christ was born. Hundreds of years, in fact, 700 years before Christ was born, when God's spokesperson Isaiah prophesied, made this statement, and was written. And it points to Jesus Christ's work on the cross for you and me. So today, communion, or the Lord's Supper, is to bring us back to the cross, to appropriate for ourselves the power, the love, the beauty, and the privileges that we have from the work that Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. So Jesus Christ on the cross gave us provision in the spiritual realm. He paid for our rebellion and our sin and transgressions. He took our infirmities and ailments, and with his stripes we were all healed. In other words, his redemption work on the cross affects our emotional, physical, and mental well-being. On the cross, we had what we call a divine exchange. A divine exchange took place because Jesus Christ took our place. The things that you and me had to go through, he went through so that you and me will be free from those things. On the cross, the divine exchange that took place is this: Jesus was punished so we may be forgiven. Jesus was hurt or bruised so that we may be healed. He took our sins and evil so that we may be justified with the righteousness of God. He died our death so that we may receive his life. Jesus was made a curse so that we may receive blessings. He took our poverty so that we may share his abundance. He took our shame so that we may share his glory. Jesus bore our rejection so that we may have his acceptance. This is a powerful thing that Christ did for us. And today, he has done that. He has exchanged what we had to go through for what he has provided for us. So today, as we are going to receive communion or come to the Lord's table and have the Lord's Supper, we have to join with Apostle Paul, who wrote in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. And he said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that on the Lord, on the day and the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this, and as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" So what Apostle Paul is trying to allude to here is that we have to go back to the cross and remember what he did. And as we take this bread as a symbol of his body by faith, and as we take the cup and we drink the wine, we remember what he did for us. And we should do this as often. So I would like you to take the bread and break some and eat it right now. After you've eaten it, let us take a cup filled with wine or non-alcoholic drink, Rabina. It's got to symbol the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's drink it together. Father, we thank you for your work on the cross. We thank you that you are a God who loves us. We thank you for what you have done for us in exchange of our frailties, our sicknesses, our diseases, our sins, transgressions, our iniquities and trespasses. Thank you for this provision for us. We've received by faith, and we say thank you, Lord. Amen. 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 Today, our message, our preach, is going to be titled, "God Wants Us to Live in Health." God wants us to live in health. Now, I want to acknowledge Reverend Wes Sutton, who was here last week, and he preached a powerful message. And he also prayed for us. And I also want to say that as he prayed for people for healing, we got through our contact us from our website. Someone contacted us from our website all the way from Nigeria to give a testimony that whilst Pastor Reverend Wes Sutton was praying and said, "Put your hand wherever the pain was, or you were hurting." She was at that time having shoulder pains on both shoulders. And that person put the hand on both shoulders. And after the prayers, the pain had gone completely. So this person wrote all the way from Nigeria to tell us that God has done that. And that is a miraculous healing. We thank God for that. And to remind ourselves that today we're going to talk about God wants us to live in health, let us go back to the Bible. It's not me just saying it, but we would like to go back to the Bible. It's the source of our power, it's the source of our faith, the source of everything that we stand for as people of faith or Christians. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 to 8. We're going to read from the Amplified Version of the Bible. It reads, "As Jesus went into Capernaum, a centurion came up to him, begging him for help, and saying, 'Lord, my servant is sick and lying at home, paralyzed with intense and terrible tormenting pain.' Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' But the centurion replied to him, 'Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed.'" What a faith. "Lord, I'm not worthy to come under your roof, but speak, my servant will be healed." And I want you to note what Jesus did there. The centurion went to him and said, "Come and heal my servant who is critically ill." He made a request to Jesus. You can say he prayed to Jesus. And he wasn't even a Christian or a person of faith, but believed that Jesus Christ would heal his servant. And when he came to Jesus, Jesus said, "Yes, I will come and heal him." Now today, my objective is to help you to have the certainty that the will of God is for us to be healed. The will of God is for us to be healed. My second objective is for you and for me to understand how to receive divine or supernatural healing and walk in complete health. Sometimes Christians are very well versed with the word divine and they are comfortable with it. But when you say supernatural, they seem to squirm a bit. It's the same thing. We want supernatural healing. That means beyond human understanding, beyond human intervention. Something that comes from God by the power of the Holy Spirit. So these are the objectives: to help you to have the certainty that the will of God is for us to be healed. And secondly, to understand how to receive divine or supernatural healing and walk in complete health. Let's go back to the cross. Each time we begin to talk about things like that, it's important that we go to the cross, because it's not by our power, not by our might, it's by the Spirit of God. So we have to know that divine or supernatural healing comes from God, and he is the source of it. So on the cross, Jesus took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. As we said a short while ago when we were having the Lord's Supper, Jesus was able to heal all the sick and cast out the evil spirits or demons from people because of what he did on the cross, which we call a divine exchange, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "He himself took or removed all our infirmities," meaning diseases, "and bore our sicknesses, so that we will be free." This you can find in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. This was to fulfill what Isaiah said, that Jesus Christ took and removed our infirmities, diseases, and bore our sicknesses. And we can even go further back if you are thinking about diseases and sicknesses and ailment. We can go back to Adam and Eve. The Bible tells us that they sinned, they disobeyed God and chose independence. And in so doing, opened the door and gave the legal rights to the enemy. The result of their sin opened the door for pain, hurt, hatred, murder, fear, and sicknesses to enter the world, our world. It wasn't there before from the beginning, but the disobedience of Adam and Eve opened the door and gave the legal right to the enemy to afflict us with these things, remember, the enemy is not for us. He's against us. And anything God does, the enemy would rather want to do the opposite. The result of these has brought diseases, illnesses, and sicknesses, which has since been used by Satan, the devil, to oppress people for many generations. And where we are right now, with this kind of pandemic, coronaviruses spreading all over the place, is not an exception. We just have to go back and look to the cross and appropriate, take it upon ourselves, take it as our own, the finished work that Jesus did on ourselves and in our situation. We receive this healing by faith, because by his stripes we are healed. That is what Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 tells us. Now, Matthew chapter 8, meaning the passage that we are looking at, if you follow it through to verse 16 and 17, Jesus Christ turned and looked at this centurion. And Jesus said, I've never heard in Israel, I've never heard even Christians believing God so much to appropriate what Christ has done upon themselves before it happens. And he went on to say that because of your faith, your servant will be healed. And that same hour, the servant was healed. What am I saying? I am saying that we have to believe God that he wants us to live in health. And on the cross, Jesus finished the work for us so that we can place a demand on him and trust him deeply and claim our healing. I would also like to say at this point that not all sicknesses are of a physical nature. It is not all sicknesses that we see with our own eyes. In other words, not all sicknesses are something that you can see and touch. Some have its source right in the demonic world or spirits of wickedness. You can't throw medication at every illness you encounter. You have to first diagnose it before you will apply the appropriate cure. Even scientists, before they produce any medicine for any particular illness, they first have to research it to get to the root cause of that sicknesses before they can produce that medication. And we know for a fact that despite several decades of research, certain illnesses are still prevailing with devastating potency and consequences with no medical cure, even right now. And we know COVID-19, as we talk about it, many doctors have said there's no cure because it mutates, the virus mutates differently from how viruses operate. So think about it carefully. What I'm saying, God knows this, and Jesus understood that. In fact, there were many doctors and medicines during the time of Jesus. Yet he went about healing people and casting out evil spirits from those who were oppressed. Yes, he went about healing people and casting out evil spirits from those who were oppressed, because God wants us to live in health. It is also because that Jesus Christ understood that certain sicknesses have no medical cure, have no medicinal solution, and therefore its root cause is unseen. Its root cause is evil, and therefore he had to deal with that. Satan, the devil's aim is to use sicknesses to steal people's health, to kill and destroy them prematurely. A lot of people have died recently, I would say prematurely. They didn't have to die. We know some. We've mentioned some. We prayed for some. And they still died. And I just want you to know that they died prematurely. The enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy them, and uses sicknesses and diseases and ailments, especially that cannot be cured medically, to end their lives. The work of the enemy in sickness and diseases manifests in the body, that is physical, and it manifests emotionally and also mentally, our mind. The physical can most of the time be dealt with medically, but the emotional and mental ones are more of a spiritual nature. Jesus thus dealt with all sicknesses. Answer the question, answer, underline it, all sicknesses and diseases as one thing, because they come from one source, which needed divine or supernatural intervention of the power of God to remove them from people. Going back to our passage that we read earlier, we heard Jesus saying, your faith has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. Or other words, your faith has healed you. Jesus commented on the centurion's reply to the healing as great faith, which he had not found anywhere in Israel. Matthew 8:8, indicating that if the people of this world have faith to be healed, we, the people of God, should be much more a people of faith for our healing. Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done for you as you have believed. Go, it will be done for you as you have believed. You can find this in Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. Because he believed, he went, and it was done for him. Now, just like you and me go to the doctor to have them check us up for our sicknesses and diseases, what do? We believe the doctor can help us. And the doctors use instruments, they use things, measurements and other things to tell us what is wrong. And when they diagnose it, they prescribe medication for us. And what do? We don't go and put it down and hope that we get healed. We take those medications. Why? Because we believe that if we take them, we'll be healed. And we get healed. Now, when it comes to certain sicknesses, we have to also believe Jesus Christ. Because this person, at the time that his servant was critically ill, he could have gone to the doctors. I'm not saying don't go to the doctors. Please do. But then there comes a time that you get to a point that they said, there is no cure. We don't know what to do. We cannot see this on our instrument. That is when you have to believe our God to heal you supernaturally or divinely so that you'll be well. Jesus wants people healed so they will be of service to God and others. You see, when you are healed, you don't die. You become of use to people around you, to your friends, your family, to your employers, to your customers. You become of service in your church. You become a service in your home. And we see that after Jesus Christ had healed the centurion's servant, he went to one of his disciples' house, Peter, the apostle, and his mother-in-law was sick. And Jesus Christ healed her of pneumonia or fever. And she was instantly healed and she began serving them. Wow, instantly. Normally when you're suffering from fever or pneumonia, the healing is progressing. But here it was instantly, indicating that it was miraculous. So you can receive your healing miraculously, that is immediately, that same hour, that very moment, the ailment is removed and cast out of you. Miraculous healing is sudden, quick, that moment, thereabout, you receive your healing. At that very moment, you are completely restored. We can think about a guy called Bartimaeus, but because he was blind, that ailment, that shortcoming, labeled him. So they called him blind Bartimaeus. He heard Jesus Christ passing by. And when Bartimaeus heard Jesus Christ passing by, he cried unto him and said, Jesus Christ, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus Christ said, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? Jesus Christ wanted Bartimaeus to open his mouth and ask Jesus for what he wanted. And when Jesus asked him, which was obvious that the guy was blind, but he asked him, what shall I do for you? He said, Lord, that I may see. And immediately Jesus said, receive your sight. And he received his sight and he could see. You can find this also in the same Matthew's Gospel chapter 8. Mark's Gospel chapter 10, verse 51 to 52. He was instantly healed, just like the Cornelius, just like the centurion's servant who was instantly healed. Sometimes I may say that not all healing is instantly, right? Some healings are progressive. Let me explain to you. You go to the hospital and they operate, you have an operation, a surgical, procedure. They remove whatever the issue is. You are healed. But you know what? You have to receive your healing, but you take time to recuperate. That is progressive healing. Just like you went to the doctor, your GP, and they prescribe medication for you, you go and take them. At that moment, you know that they've identified the issue and progressively you get your healing. So some healing can also be progressive. From that hour or from that moment, the sickness has been taken away from you because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Progressive healing happens when Jesus Christ heals you instantly, there and then, that moment he heals you. But you don't see the manifestation, the physical proof as of it. Don't lose faith. When somebody has prayed for you for your healing, don't lose faith. Be strong, receive it, because Jesus Christ said, by my stripe, you are healed. So your sickness has been taken away, just on the cross. Sickness that comes on you, whether as a result of transgression or iniquities or generational curse, has been taken away. As the moment you pray to God and you ask for that, like Isaiah chapter 53 verse 5 will tell us. Sometimes the manifestation of these healings comes with time. Your part is to believe and keep on believing that healing has taken place. Now let me give you three examples of this progressive healing from the Bible, so that you understand. I've taken pain to tell you about surgical procedure where you get healed, but you take time for your healing to complete. That's progressive healing. Now, spiritually, that also happens. In Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 25, we see Jesus Christ, meeting a man who was blind. And Jesus Christ took him aside and spat on the guy's eyes. Pew! And he asked him, can you see? And the guy said, yes, I can see people moving like trees. That is what he said. So Jesus Christ took him back again. And this time he put his spot again on the eyes and put his hand on the eyes and said, receive your healing. And this man received his healing. What is the difference here? The man got healed the first time, but then he had to receive progressive healing. He had to believe. Jesus Christ had to let him know that you have to believe to receive that healing. So this man believed for a second time. This time he could see clearly. Let me give you another example in Mark chapter 9, verse 1 to 9 and verse 35 to 38. It's a long read, but it's about a story. Also about Jesus spitting again. This time he also made a man. He was equally blind. And Jesus spat and made clay with his hand and anointed the blind man's eyes. And this man instantly and progressively he got healed. You know what happened? When he did that, the healing came. He was healed. People did not believe him. The Pharisees did not believe him because he hadn't gone to a doctor. because it wasn't a doctor or a physician who healed him. They doubted him. They asked him questions. And they threw him away from the temple. And Jesus found him. And when Jesus found him, he said, "What happened?" They said, "They've thrown me out." And he said, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" And he said, "Who is he that I will believe in him?" And he said, "I am he." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And he said, "Go. Your faith has made you whole." So he was healed. People doubted it. Maybe they made him even doubt himself. But then Jesus had to meet him again, get him to the point of absolute and total belief of his healing. And then when he acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Lord, the one who is the healer, he got his healing. Let me give you one more example. Mark chapter 7, verse 31 to 35. Jesus again spat, and this time sighed. Yes, he sighed, and then he healed a man who was deaf and dumb. He put his hand on the eye, he put his hand in the ears and on the tongue, and he healed him. Now, the reason why Jesus had to sigh is as if he was angry about something. This was indicating that this person's illness, deaf and dumb spirit, was of a spiritual nature. And most of the healing and the miracles that Jesus Christ performed was on deaf and dumb spirit. It is a spirit. People who were deaf and dumb, he healed them instantly, because it's as if in these three occasions, he said, "Now how long shall I encounter this spirit? I've spat on you. I've spat on you to tell you that I resent you, I despise you, and I bring the healing power of God, but still you do not seem to get it. Now I am serious." Deaf and dumb spirit, be gone. So you can see here, what is happening here is the healing was done first time round, but it's got to be progressive. That means you have to believe. You have to keep on believing. You got to keep on giving God thanks, and he will heal you. Now, I want to also talk about the fact that when we are healed, we have to keep our healing. When we are healed, we have to keep our healing. When you ask Jesus to come and heal you, he will come and do precisely that. However, we keep our healing when we remain connected with him. You see, these instances of healing that I've given you, people just don't walk away. They remain connected to Jesus Christ. They remain connected to the healer. When a doctor heals you, you don't just go away. You go for checkups. You keep connected. You keep going to your doctors for checkups. Yes, you are connecting to your healer. And most often, you have to keep connected to and remain connected to Jesus and worship him and give him glory with thanksgiving. Because when you do so, he says, "Go, your faith has healed you." Let me give you one or two more examples in this instance, and then you'll understand what I mean. In Luke chapter 17, verse 14 right through to 19, there were lepers, 10 of them, who came to Jesus and begged him, literally prayed to him that Jesus Christ heal us. And these lepers, when they asked Jesus Christ, he says, "You are healed. Go and show yourself to the priest for the physical proof so that you can give thanksgiving to God and do according to what the scripture says." And as they were going, they realized they were healed. The 9 went. We don't know whether they went to the priest or not. But the one who was a foreigner came back to Jesus Christ to give thanks. Came back to Jesus Christ to give thanks. And Jesus Christ was quite indignant. and said, did I not heal 10 people? And only one, you, the foreigner, who came to give thanks to God and give him glory. This man came to worship Jesus. And Jesus said, go, your faith has made you whole. So in so doing, this man kept his healing. Because some healings, some sicknesses, which have a demonic nature, can recur. And therefore, you need to keep your healing. It's just like sometimes you have some sicknesses and you go through chemotherapy and sometimes there's a relapse. You got to do something to keep your healing. That means in this case, you have to change your diet and change the way you eat, do some exercise and do something different so that you can keep your healing. You cannot go back to do the same thing. Just like we are in this pandemic, we cannot go back life as usual. Start thinking of reorganizing and readjusting and reordering your lives. We have to do that. Now, the other example that I want to give to you was in Mark chapter 5, verse 28 up to 34. This was about a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. She's gone to physicians after physicians, exhausted all her money. Her health insurance was done. Every money that she had to pay to private doctors was done. Every money that she had was gone, and she probably didn't have much. But she heard Jesus passing, and she knew that Jesus was a healer. So today, I'm talking about the fact that God will want us to live in health. It is so too. So if you believe this Jesus, he is passing this way today. And as he's passing this way today, he's passing and he's in your home today. He's on your screens today. He is telling that he can heal you. So this woman brought her issue to Jesus Christ and said, if only I can touch his garment. What an abject faith. She was a woman. And Jesus was a prophet, as according to the scriptures and as according to the people around. They knew he was a teacher of the law. And therefore, a woman should not touch his garment. But I just want you to know, this woman dared to touch his garment. Said, if only I can do that. So today I want you to dare to touch his garment. Do not be afraid. Whatever your illness, whatever your situation, however bad it is, do not let anything prevent you from stretching forth to touch the garment of Jesus Christ. And when she touched it, the Bible says that her issue, her affliction, the word affliction indicates there was a demonic source of this. Her affliction ceased. Her flow of blood dried up. She was restored and her sickness went away. So this sickness, if it was of a medical nature, it would have been picked up. But because it was not of a medical nature, for 12 years, she tried everything, she couldn't pick it up. So I want to encourage you that there is something we call supernatural healing, and that is you believing in Jesus Christ that he is a healer and going to him the things that cannot be resolved and say, Jesus Christ, by your stripes I am healed, and he will heal you. Amen. Now, to come to our conclusion, I will just say this. It is God who said in Exodus chapter 15, 26, after the people of Israel have left Egypt, the place of medicine and a place of also equally illnesses and sicknesses, God said, if you obey me and if you diligently do what I tell you, then none of these sicknesses that is upon the Egyptians will come to you. So you who is a child of God, even if you are not, like the centurion who is not a Christian, he believed in Jesus Christ, and God said, I am the God that heals you. So Jesus is always moving in power of the Lord to heal people. He is ready to heal you today. Your level of faith will determine your desire to place a demand on the anointing that he carries so that you will be healed. In Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 26, Luke 5, 17 to 26, there was this guy who was paralyzed, or they call him paralytic. And Jesus Christ was in a big hall with all the teachers of the law, the Pharisees and all the big people had come around, and they had come around together, and he was teaching. The Bible said, and the power of the Lord was there to heal. And these friends of this paralytic wanted to come in. They wouldn't come into the same hall, but what they did was that they opened the roof of the house and lowered their friends right in front of Jesus, right in front of Jesus. They wanted Jesus to see that they have a need. And Jesus saw that and said, what faith is this? So he told the guy, your sins are forgiven. Suddenly people became anxious. Who is this that can actually tell people that his sins can be forgiven? Only God can do it. You see, sometimes our mind tells us that certain things cannot be done because our minds are carnal. But our faith is supernatural. Our faith is divine. It is beyond what our minds and our emotions and our will and our bodies alone can conceptualize. So our divine faith and our faith in the supernatural power of God make these friends of the paralytic got healed instantly. He said, your sins are forgiven. Get up and walk. And the people were worried about that. But Jesus said, what is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? So he told the guy to get up and walk. And he got up and walked. And suddenly they started praising God. Hypocrites! They wanted to see the physical proof before they do anything. They were arguing. They were arguing about supernatural. They were arguing about manifestation. They were arguing about divine things. They were arguing about miracles. Now when they saw it, they started praising God. That is what we all do. When God begins to move in the supernatural, like he's doing in our church, some people may argue about it. Some people may doubt it. I don't, because our faith is supernatural. So this guy got healed. So the guy, he was forgiven of his sins and he was healed. That paralytic was forgiven his sins and he was healed. So the redemptive work of Jesus Christ on the cross for our salvation is linked to our healing. Forgiveness of sin and healing are interlinked. The two are linked together. They are joined together, and receive this by faith. This is because the root of sicknesses and diseases go back all the way to Adam. He opened the door, gave the legal right to the enemy so that he can oppress people. And finally, I'll quote a verse which I quote very often. I didn't write it. It is in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 18, to prove to you that forgiveness of sins and healing and casting out of demons and destroying the works of the evil one are interlinked. So, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 to 18, from New King James Version of the Bible, it reads, and he, Jesus, said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. This is brilliant. Those who confess their sins and got saved will do this. These things, our healing is linked. It's linked. Linked to our salvation. So when you get saved, part of your privileges is to allow Jesus Christ to heal you physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Just as you believe by faith to be saved, and a visible change comes when you invite the Holy Spirit into your heart, we likewise have to first believe God for our healing to see the evidence or the visible proof of his supernatural power to heal us. We believe before we get saved. We believe before we get healed. So today, I hope you've been blessed by this message. I hope God has spoken to you. I hope that it's not all about talk, but it's about demonstration of power of healing. So in a short while, we will be praying for you. We'll be praying with you too. And we'll be praying for all manner of sicknesses and disease. Remember what 3 John 1:2 tells us. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. God wants your soul to prosper, and God wants you to be in health. Amen.